Thank you. It is 8:31, 6:31. Where is everybody else?
I'm here.
Hey, Wanda.
Good evening. How are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks, Mariah.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, y'all.
Hello.
Hey, Robert.
Hi.
Love your background as always.
How are you doing? You good?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, our quorum is 12. We've got a little ways to go.
Did you say something, Dennis? I missed it. I was in another room.
I just said that our quorum is 12. We've got a little ways to go.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
We are officially at 23 members.
Are you at quorum now, Dennis?
I'm about to check. Who is that on phone ending 718? Are you a board member? Okay. Okay, we're going to be good.
Hello,
All right,
Kamal.
Ellen, you can begin the roll call now.
Irene Adams.
Present.
Okay. Karen Briggs. Karen Briggs. Vanessa. Vanessa. Sarah Brown is resigning, I guess, so she's not here.
According to officials familiar
Verna. Verna. Wayne Bruce. Michael.
Present.
Ellen, I'm here. This is Karen.
All right. Thank you, Karen. Someone has their, they're not muted and you can hear conversations in the background. Bill? Bill?
I haven't seen him.
Okay, Violetta?
Here.
Wanda?
Here.
Sue? Sue? Robert?
Present.
Okay. Donna? Donna? Kamal?
I'm here.
Arthur?
Present.
Andrew?
Here.
Ambrose? Ambrose? And Patrick Morrison contacted Dennis. So excused absence. Tony?
Present.
Tony?
Present.
Okay. Mariah?
Here.
Ron Pinchback contacted me and I sent an email to everyone. He is unable to make the meeting this evening. Minerva?
Present.
And Dennis?
I am here. Thank you, Ellen.
Okay, I'll go back over some who didn't answer. Vanessa?
You didn't call me, Ellen, I don't think. This is Addie.
Adele.
Yeah.
Okay. I had you. All right. Vanessa? Verna? Bill?
You just entered. Bill just entered.
Okay, thank you. Sue? Sue? Ambrose Lane? Okay. So far, her.
Informing her that she is to leave.
Is Vanessa? Has she entered?
No.
Okay.
I'm here, Bill Curtis. Ellen, yep. Good evening.
We got you, Bill.
Okay, I have you, Bill. Okay. Verna, has she entered?
No.
Okay. Wayne, has he entered?
No.
Sue?
Vanessa, no, Sue. Vanessa has just entered.
Okay. Thank you. No, Sue. Donna? Have you seen Donna?
No.
Ambrose?
Nope.
Okay. All right, so I have them as absent unless, just let me know if they do enter, please. Thank you.
Okay, right. I will. All right, thank Vanessa's you. Yeah, we got you, Vanessa. So, thank you all for attending. I am calling this meeting to order the May 8th monthly meeting of the WPFW Local Station Board. Good evening, one and all. Our first order of business is to see if there are any objections to approving the agenda as sent. Hearing none, the agenda is approved, and the minutes for the April meeting, which were also distributed, are there any objections or corrections to those minutes? Okay. Thank you. The April minutes are approved, and says general manager. Obviously, it's the interim general manager. Ms. IGM, are you here? Miyuki? Okay. She said that she will be here at the meeting. She is also, she's actually, on vacation somewhere else. So, her timing may be off. I have, if I may, in the meantime, the program director is also away. But I do have a report from the program director. And if there are no objections while we wait for the interim general manager, I will read from the program director's report. Any objections?
Let me ask, is this a hard copy of a document that can be sent out to everyone?
It was sent out
to everyone. Since the program committee did not get one.
It was sent out about an hour or two ago. To all the members of the board. Are there any objections? And the idea was hopefully even if you hadn't had a chance to study it, you would have it in your inboxes that you could read along.
Mr. Chair, I just need it noted.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I just need it noted that this document that you're reading does not come to the program committee at all, and it's always at least less than an hour or about an hour before the meeting that individuals get it.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Chair, seek to be recognized. I don't know what to call it.
Go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to offer a different perspective that it does not always come an hour before, and it is sometimes has been submitted to the program committee. The all where present an extreme misrepresentation.
Okay, and Mr. Chair, I need to make sure that my information is entered. And I'll be bringing something up under the program committee regarding that. Thank you.
The meeting is recorded. And this, just for the record, this is the report to the LSB. I don't know what arrangements have been made or are being made for the reports, special reports to the program committee, but I guess we will hear about that later. Okay. Here's a program director report, May 2024. We have ongoing coverage of Palestinian and Congo student encampments. On April 6th and 7th, we had the weekend fundraiser, Jazz is the Teacher, Funk is the Preacher, of special programming in support of our relocation fund. On April 13th, we broadcast the NEA, as we do every year, NEA Jazz Masters Award Ceremony. This year, the awardees, including our own Willard Jenkins. April 30th was International Jazz Day. Thanks to Brother Jamil, Willard Jenkins, Craig Williams, and Candy Shannon for making International Jazz Day a wonderful listen. broadcast culminated in the UNESCO Global All-Star Jazz Concert being broadcast from Tangier, Morocco, WPFW and Sirius XM were the two U.S. outlets that broadcast the event. For those unfamiliar with International Jazz Day, she includes a primer that is in the written report. I will not read through that now. There is a description of the spring pledge drive. Miyuki, I just saw that you came in. Do you want me to save that for you? Or do you want me to go ahead and read what Katia has here? Miyuki? I thought I saw her coming.
I apologize for being late. I had trouble getting on.
Okay, no, that's fine. So I'm in the middle of reading Katia's report while we waited for you. I just wanted to question. She's got something here about, information about the spring pledge drive. Do you want to do that?
No, you can go ahead. Her is a little different than mine. Might be more general. And, so is Tarius.
Okay. Well, we have the spring pledge drive, coming up. I'm going to read the drive theme and description. We're also going to offer two community gifts, one centering Palestinian women and children and the other centering Congolese women. To increase goodwill and support entities doing great work on the ground in these locations. Okay, the theme WPFW, 47 years of education for liberation. Nelson Mandela said that education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world. WPFW has been utilizing education in the service of liberation for over 47 years by presenting informative and insightful programming, both cultural and political, to enrich mind, body, and spirit. From Sunday, May 12th through Saturday, May 25th, we invite you to support this University of the Year during our spring pledge drive by visiting WPFWFM.org, WPFW Building a Better World, one broadcast at a time. Okay, there is a response. I'm sorry, I've got sirens going on outside my window. There's a response that I sent to members of the board from the Inside Out Collective in response to our resolution about Pride Parade coverage. In essence, their response rejects the notion that our coverage is insufficient. The current coverage is yet to be determined, and the two members of the collective are part of the planning committee for that day's events. And for more particulars of that, you can read the report that was disseminated to the board. Tom Cole has agreed to take leadership of the committee to review the programmer's handbook and Bill of Rights. The committee is studying those at this point, and they will be presented to programmers once the committee has reviewed them. Programmer self-evaluations and station evaluations, almost 100% of programmers participated. She writes, we are distilling replies into a spreadsheet, which we will share with all stakeholders after sharing with the programmers. Many had insightful feedback about their own show and ways to improve WPFW. Upcoming special programming on Wednesday, May 15th, the 76th anniversary of the ongoing Palestinian Nakba and resistance to Israeli apartheid. Radio Free Palestine will launch at midnight Eastern Standard on WPFW and dozens of stations across North America to air 24 hours of programming from radio stations and producers across five continents. There will be separate streams in Arabic, English, French, and Spanish. Our presentation will be in English and will include discussions, speeches, music, poetry, and updates on voices of students currently or previously participating in encampments. that is beginning midnight, May 15th on WPFW. May 31st, 5 a.m. to midnight, there'll be programming celebrating Sam the Man Burns, which is also the day the district government's street naming ceremony for Sam the Man Burns Way, which will be 18th Street between M and N. Ceremony will be there in Longfellow Park at noon. Sam championed house music, and the day will explore various aspects of influence and will include both WPFW and non-WPFW hosts and musicologists. Kudos to our own Rita Burns for curating this wonderful tribute. Details to come. And finally, she notes that programmer Millie Ware will no longer be on the air. That is the report. I can't provide any answers to any questions. But why don't we hear from the interim general manager, and then we'll take questions, all of the management questions together. Wait a minute. Go ahead, Minerva.
Okay, and I'm sorry. There was supposed to be an attachment about the Inside Out group, and that's not included with this. Could that be sent to us, please?
I believe it went separately, but
This is the only information I just checked. So okay. If it was sent by Ellen, it needs to be sent. I didn't receive it. Thank you.
Understood. Ellen, can you please double check and make sure that I believe that I attached that Inside Out response to my email to you. Please double check, and if not, I will I'll get that to you. Everyone will receive it. Thank you, Minerva. Okay, Miyuki.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here tonight. Just to catch everybody up in terms of budget, I'm working hard at cutting costs. What I've asked Mo to do is to lower electricity at the tower by 50% every night for about 6 to 8 hours. Our Pepco bill averages about $5,000 to $7,000 a month. If that can be lowered, that'll be a significant savings for us, because in addition to the service being expensive, we always end up paying a significant late fee for being late with the payment. So we're trying to see how that's working. We're not replacing any personnel. We're not replacing the bookkeeper. What's happening is that Markeisha from Pacifica National is doing our books from now on. Still have to supply her with invoices and vendors so that she has all that information. Grateful to Pacifica also for taking over Mo's pay, so we don't have to pay Mo anymore. And so those are cost savings that we're going to have on a monthly basis moving forward. In terms of increasing funds, we have a drive coming up. Satari will give more details providing specifically what's going on in the drive. But we have now committees formed to attract more major donors, to produce more events. Satari has taken on not only soliciting for cars, but also real estate. And the car thing is huge. A couple of weeks ago, we needed enough money to pay, I believe, the telerep service, and we didn't have it. We were about $2,000 short. And that day, $2,200 came in from a car donation and just made it possible for us to make sure that we have phone answers on off hours for our planned drive for late night, early morning hosts, and for overflow. So it's really, it was an important, every little bit counts is my only point. We're starting planned giving, and thank you very much to a programmer, Aize, as well as our executive director, Stephanie Wells. We received a $10,000 grant. So we're trying to increase funds and then reducing cost. Our drive is coming up May 12th through the 25th. The staff is on board working hard to ensure that it's a success. Received two major donations in the last week. One is that of a trip to Egypt. Talking to Satari, we're trying to figure out how we can leverage that and maximize the effects worth over, I don't remember the exact figures right now, but it's going to be something that we're either going to try to bid or have people bid for or offer, if not for this drive, another time we can maximize the monetary appreciation of that. And we also met, someone who deals in high art who's going to do the same, who's offered to give us a couple pieces of art for us to either do a silent auction with or bid available for the drive. We are encouraging programmers not to offer thank you gifts or certainly not anything that we're going to have to owe and try to pay up. What we've done before the drive, again, this is part of Satara's report, but just so you know that we've tried to take care and address thank you gifts so that members will be more open to our solicitations. In terms of staffing, I let go of one board operator, a volunteer team has been created. Want to thank Minerva very much. Mrs. Turner is going to become our receptionist. She had told me that she's willing to do the work, but when I was talking to her, I thought I had assembled a team of people to work with her. Minerva was able to discern that we only need one person who's going to be Mrs. Turner for a while, who's willing to take on the load for herself until we get more people to augment the team of people answering phones. But that's huge in terms of opening up the station and making it more accessible, being more responsive to our listeners when they have questions, either about tax receipts, thank you gifts, or right now I get a lot of calls about the building. So having a live person being able to feel those things will help us significantly, I believe. The offices have been cleaned out. Mo has taken a lot of the equipment and they either sold it for profit for WPFW or has designated it for donations or just thrown things away. The station was getting to be looked a bit like a storage space, and it's been cleaned up. The kitchen has been cleaned up. The programmers and the staff were using a microwave that was totally depleted, had rust exposed everywhere, and those things have been replaced with the idea of welcoming and making our home more appealing for people to come to do work as well as to visit. Again, as I mentioned, Markeisha is taking over the bookkeeping for us, and she's doing a great job. And the real estate committee, moving the real estate committee, they're doing an outstanding job looking at a lot of different properties. Wayne Bruce set up an appointment with myself and the Montgomery County, and forgive me, I forgot his title, but he basically guaranteed that if we move to Montgomery County on one of our spaces, he's ensured that we'll get a $16,000 build out fund or welcome to Montgomery County and support fund. So that's, he basically guaranteed that. So we have that. Addie, as well as Esther, Mo, and others are continuing to look at places. Kamau is the chair. He's working well with his people, ensuring that we're going out. The idea of putting out a PSA to the public has been great. We're getting a lot of different places to look at. And so we're following through on those. And I want to thank the LSB so much for the support. As I mentioned earlier, Minerva helped me identify Mrs. Turner for the phone receptionist. She also was pivotal in getting the thank you gifts out before the...
You just froze. Miyuki, you are frozen. Anybody have any good unfreezing tricks?
Other than signing out and then signing back in.
Right. It's her connection, not ours. We are all here.
Yeah. Okay. Did she sign out?
Yes, she did.
So okay, while we're waiting for Yuki to come back, okay. Sataria?
Hello.
Hi, Dennis. Thanks for joining us. Why don't you step up so that we don't lose any time and let us hear what you've got.
Okay. Some of the stuff I'm sure, you know, we've all been in little individual meetings and different things, so please forgive the repetition. So hello. As Miyuki mentioned, our drive is May 12th through the 25th. So the thank you gifts, I want to thank Minerva. She has come in and other people I know are making themselves available to volunteer with getting thank you gifts. The first push is to try and get everything that is in-house, that is owed to people out. So, I mean, we've gotten a great response from people as they are receiving some of those things. Even, you know, some stuff as old as December of 2022. And so we're thankful for that. And we're still working on it. We're going to have some more stuff this Friday to package up. we are doing a big before the drive specifically, we're doing a new member push. We're asking that the on-air hosts, when they're pitching, they ask for 4 new members each hour. Now, we can track that, but it's not so much that we're trying to hold folks, you know, so accountable for it, but we are insisting that they ask for it to increase our new members. As you all know, you know, we need to increase our core membership. Increasing our core membership allows us more stability and as far as income. So that's one of the reasons why we're pushing for new members. One of the aids towards new members, we are going to be asking for major donors. We do have major donors, but we're going to be looking at hopefully getting more of them in the mix. I know that is something that Craig Williams is helping to work on, as well as Art. Art has been invaluable. As you all know, he does the newsletter. And when it comes to sending out things, we don't have a lot of ways to track how people click on the things they're interested in, but the newsletter actually tracks that. And so the fact that Art has been pivotal with making sure that goes out. I'm sending out my own e-blast that's going out this evening that highlights the event happening on May 26th. Oh, I'm sorry. I know I'm making noise. That's going out tonight to highlight May 26th. There's only about 50 tickets left, so we're confident that's going to sell out. But back to the drive, we've got the new member goals, and we're doing a big sustainer push. Sustainers do just that. They sustain us. Those $10 a month, but the more people we can get into the pool at that $10 a month, the more monthly income that we have that we can depend upon, that we can, you know, if we can grow that base, that can really assist us in planning to move forward. And financially, it'll also give us, make us more stable financially if we have enough money coming in just from sustainers. Then we know that other ones that we get we can use towards growing and improving. And, you know, right now I know a lot of times it feels like we're just, you know, we're surviving and making it, but we want to, you know, grow and continue to strive forward. And our sustainers will help us with that. What else? I'm trying to think. I've got notes here, so forgive me. Oh, as far as, I did speak, Miyuki mentioned real estate. It's real estate donations. So how people donate their cars to WPFW, people can donate land. It's mostly land, but they can do commercial property, residential property, or land they can donate. So our cars, the company that does our cars also are launching a real estate program. I did speak with them this week. We're looking it over, trying to see if it's advantageous to us, or if maybe we should look elsewhere for that particular area. Art is also helping me to look at that, so I appreciate that going on. Let's see. One of the things Vinny always wants me to remind everybody, he needs volunteers for the pledge drive and for in general, because I know he's going to be sending out things for other areas that we need help in. But right now, the drive is most immediate. So if you have time, he says, please contact him at it's WPFWvolunteers@WPFW.org. I'll put that in the chat. You can also give him a call, 202-588-0999. His extension is 1008. I'll also put that in the chat. He also wants me to suggest, which is true, that if you have, we know that all of you have your own communities. So if you belong to organizations or churches or fraternal organizations, we've had hand dance groups come in and answer the phones. Whatever it is that you guys, if you got something positive going on and you do it with another group of people, your book club, you know, all those things, then he says, if you can, give him contact information for those groups as well, because and we know they may not be able to do within the next 2 weeks. We understand that. But as he's trying to rebuild our volunteer base, you know, since the pandemic and everything, he's asking that we all help, both the LSB, the staff, the programmers, everybody to help. Just give him, you know, the information on who to reach out to. He's like, if he has that, then he can take it from there. But, you know, sometimes it could be hard to figure out how to get started. And that's it. I don't have a lot more. Everything I'm working on right now is specific to the drive.
Okay. Thanks, Atario. Irene, I see your hand. I'm going to let Miyuki finish. And
thank
then
you,
we'll
Irene.
Take all the questions.
Okay.
Miyuki? Yeah, we just let Sitaria go on ahead so that we wouldn't lose time.
Thank you. And I apologize. I just lost my connection. I was just about finished. I was just saying I thank the support from the LSB. Minerva physically came in and ensured that worked with Sitaria to ensure that the bulk of our thank you gifts got out along with it was great work, along with her grandsons. And she also is trying to help me lower our phone bills with Verizon because she has experience in that. Authored, as Satari also mentioned earlier, is helping us with planned giving, something that we've never been able to really focus on before. Mariah has done a PSA and is working with other young people in the station to recruit more young people. And Wanda called me the other day with a really great idea. I didn't even get a chance to discuss with Satari yet, but I'm thinking about helping implementing that for the next drive. So I just thank you all for your support and just wanted to let you know that we're getting some traction. We're moving forward. We're not static, but we still have a ways to go. And I wanted to thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. So beginning with Irene, we'll see if anyone has any questions for Miyuki or Sitaria or comments on the PD report. Irene, you're up first.
This one's for Sitaria. She mentioned an event on May 26th. Can you tell us a little more about that and what's needed for that?
Yes.
I apologize. So we have a jazz happy hour happening at Tacoma Station on May 26th. It's from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. Again, that's at Tacoma Station. And it's being put together by the Programmers Association. Tickets are available through Eventbrite. Right now, they are saying they believe they have enough volunteers, but I'm sure that's going to change. So I'll have Vinny reach out, and I may just reach out to the board myself if we get into a place where we need more people. But right now, they're saying they believe they have, and I get it. They're an association, and I think they're trying to get their members, since they have members, trying to get their own members to participate and be the folks who work the event. But if they still need folks, I'll let you know. And again, it's not till May 26th, so we do have a little time to try and get it figured out. Did that answer your question, Irene?
Yes, thank you. I didn't know that there was, I just wanted the specifics on the event and if there was anything needed, but I'm good.
Okay.
Tony.
Okay, good evening. Two things. The first thing, Miyuki, a few days ago I had asked if you had any further information to present to the board regarding the subject matter you spoke of at the last executive session. And Dennis said that you didn't have anything then. I just want to follow up and see if you have anything now, if anything popped up that you would like to present to us, either in open or in executive session.
Thank you, Tony, for the question. We're still investigating, and I just noticed a comment in the LSB, in the chat room from Nancy about the Pacifica internal audit, which I'm not familiar with. I had not heard anything about, but we're trying to get the books together, and there's nothing brand new to report major. So give us a little bit more time, please. We're trying to get there, and we will, but nothing is going out other than it's going out through Markeisha. I made the staff clear that nothing can be, they can't spend money on anything without prior permission and expect to get reimbursed. Again, I'm not, any expenditure that was not previously there is not happening. We have a major donor who is undertaking the costs for things like the stamps, for the stamps for the thank you gifts that went out. That was not charged to WPFW. That was taken care of by a major donor who took care of that. Things like that. Anything I can do to avoid, I still don't know what outstanding checks are out there. So we're still in detective mode trying to identify and look for things.
Okay, thank you. And then the second thing with the program director's report, if you can give some information about that. Can you hear me, Miyuki?
Yeah, I can hear you. It's just noisy out here. I'm sorry.
Okay.
What is the question? I'm not from the PD report.
So in the PD report, it says programmer Millie Ware has been relieved of her duties.
Yes.
And, you know, that's going to impact the fund drive people donate on her show to hear. So I think it would be appropriate to give the public, you know, who donate to her show some kind of reason as to why she was let go.
I appreciate that, Tony, and I can understand the curiosity, but it really is a management issue. And as an LSB, you're privy to that information, but it would have to be in a closed session. It could not be anything discussed in a public arena.
Okay.
And and also I want to say that if we want to do that, I will schedule another meeting for that because the IGM is actually is sharing her time with us now, but I'm not going to ask her to stay to the end of the meeting for an executive session because basically she's on vacation. So that's something that we can discuss at another time.
Dennis, I appreciate that. I didn't think about that possibly coming up as a closed session. If that is needed, we can do that.
I don't think that's anything that's okay. Time sensitive. But what I do think is the to Tony's point, that management might want to consider if there is some statement that can be available to be made publicly. Especially during the drive because questions will be raised. But it's not a conversation that's appropriate, for this venue at this time.
Okay. Thank you.
Also, I would like to say, Michael, I'm coming to you right now, but I would just like to encourage, to the extent that you are comfortable for people to follow Tony's, example. And, when you're on the microphone to, it would be good to be on the camera as well so that we are actually talking to one another. If it's not feasible, so be it. Go ahead, Mike.
Good evening. I after what you just said, I think what I'm going to really do is request that we have a closed session because what I'm interested in the last closed session, there were some assertions that were made, which I consider to be very serious in terms of finances, which I don't necessarily want to even ask the IGM in an open session about either. So maybe we can combine those two.
What I was saying is that if we do that, we'll have to schedule a different meeting because we're not going to schedule that with the IGM tonight.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I just wanted to add to that.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. And, Ellen, I believe, Verna Avery Brown, entered the room.
Thank you. I noted.
Okay. Any other questions or comments for management? Okay.
Thank you all so much.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Harris.
I had my.
Oh. Somebody else have
a. I was trying to raise.
Okay. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I was trying to raise my hand. Sorry. Yeah, I got a quick question. The grant that was mentioned? What kind of grant was that? If Mayuki is still on board.
Well, and, I think I can, it's, it was a grant from the county to support, moving, set up expenses should we, end up deciding to move into Montgomery County. It's a, it's an incentive grant from the county. Committee is also looking at, other grant possibilities, in the district as well.
Okay. Second quick question is, the donated trip to Egypt, how's that coming about? And what are the, where's it coming from?
Who's it's coming from a listener who's willing to, he takes people on trips annually and he contacted me and said he's willing to donate.
Is this Tony Browder's group? Do you know if it's Tony Browder's group?
I believe if she wanted to name the person, she would have, Bill.
Hey, Mayuki, turn your video off.
I was trying to keep his privacy. You know, it's not official yet.
Okay, I understand. Just asking a question, Dennis.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Thanks.
Mayuki, keep your video off and you'll stop freezing. Keep your video off.
Thank you, Irene.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, Kamal, you ready?
All right. Hey, good evening.
Okay.
Yep.
And you can share your screen.
Okay. I actually don't have anything to share this evening. I do want to apologize up front. I typically send out a email blast to our committee members, alerting them to the meeting on Monday. I didn't do that. We did have our meeting, but Tony reached out. I know Lou did. So they ended up actually missing the meeting. So I just want to make sure I apologize to them. But, you know, the meetings, they're posted. If I'm canceling or they're going to be canceled, you'll know ahead of time. But we did have that meeting on Monday, the 6th at the standard time, which is 7 p.m. Via Zoom. So the discussion we had, because there was only about three of us there, we briefly talked about essentially the first quarter financials, what we received from the national office, from Markeisha and her preparation is the October through December financial statements. And in that review, we did determine that the first three quarters weren't fully developed in terms of all the costs and expenditures that were in there. And we need to kind of go back and review and look at exactly what submissions have happened between the first 3 months of the year and today. So more to come on that. To kind of piggyback on what Miyuki was saying, we're working hard to try and work on what the communication is going to look like. So without any having a local finance person any longer, and with the national office now wanting to take or assuming that role, what does that look like for the finance committee? What should we expect from them in the way of reporting? That has not been ironed out. We have not had a full discussion about what it is that we are able to review going forward. Mm-hmm. So, again, this is basically a transitional period, and we're trying to work on that. So, for example, I'm going to share with you some numbers tonight, but they're only numbers based on one of the bank accounts that are currently held by the station. There is a second account with Bank of America that we don't necessarily have line of sight on. And so this is the struggle, like how are we going to marry these two accounts in their transactions? The income that comes in via Bank of America, the income that had come in through Truist, and the expenses that went out between both of them. So all that's got to kind of come together to get a clear picture of the finances. They were trying, they being the national office, was trying to get everything moved over to Bank of America. So when that happens again, what does it look like for us as an LSB in terms of hearing what the financial position is? Because we locally won't have any line of sight on that information. All right. So just keep that in mind as we try to go through some of the numbers here now. So at the end, now this is the truest account. So at the end of the month of April, the balance in that truest account was $5,664.80. There were 85,517.65 in deposits received during the month of April. There were $81,928.88 in withdrawals and or checks written in the month. Primarily those checks and withdrawals, there was a $19,679.24 check written to AMU for our tower rent. And then monies for payroll that were moved over, and this is what we're, again, the kind of back and forth, monies for payroll that were moved over to the Bank of America account, right? Those two transactions totaled essentially $57,000. Okay, so those are the major pieces of expense that moved out of the Truist account during the month, giving us a final balance of $5,664.80 in that account. So when we try and get line of sight on the other side of things, which is where this Bank of America account is, then we'll be able to give a fuller picture of what's happening in the organization. So I'll pause there if there's any questions.
Okay. I see one from Mr. Leon.
Yeah, Kamal. Was that information shared in the finance committee meeting?
What information? The dollars from the bank? No.
What you just said, and then you mentioned a something you mentioned about getting financials for a period of October through December, I think you said.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that was shared. Yeah. So the first quarter financials came out from the national office. So you have October through December of this year. That did come out for the network. So that is available. And it hasn't officially, again, this kind of nuanced thing. They let us look at it, but it hasn't been officially like, hey, you can give it to any and everybody now. That hasn't been said. So I think, Tony, you know, we typically are able to share that. I don't send it to everybody, but we can look at it. I'll pull it up on the screen and review it. But it won't go out until the National Finance Committee and the Pacifica National Board says, hey, you can send this out to everybody, and the actual document itself will be released.
So that document can't even go out to the Finance Committee members?
The way that I understand it is no, is that only after a full review by the National Finance Committee, all the general managers, which I didn't know that as well, all the general managers have to bless it, and then the Pacifico National Board does. And then once all of that happens, then we can send it out to everybody.
Okay. And what about this, the expenses for April? Was that shared? Is that available for the Finance Committee members?
That was literally me just reading off a bank statement. There isn't any, like, what we used to get in the past, which is really nice, was like a list of the transactions and what accounts they kind of married up to in the financial statement. We actually don't have that going forward. So that's what I'm trying to work out. I'm trying to understand with them what is it going to look like for us? Are we going to be able to manage and review all the activity in a way that we had in the past? And I'm not sure at this point what that's going to look like.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And it may be that they send a report down to us and we just kind of look at it and then shoot some questions back to them, so on and so forth. But things are going to change, I think, significantly moving forward.
Gotcha.
Mr. Byfield.
Yes. Do we still have, regarding telecom, do we still have a T1? Do we still pay for that? T1 line, do you know?
No idea, sir. I do not.
Okay. And there's a dedicated, we used to have a dedicated Verizon line. I forgot the name. Maybe Tony can enlighten me as a former Verizon technician, as to what that specific type of line was that we used for, you know, overseas call, as a dedicated line. I forgot the name of that particular line. If we still have that, it was quite expensive. I don't know if we've kept it over the years. That also I'd like to, find out. And come out as the finance committee person, chair. I brought up before that we wanted to have a closed session about the last meeting regarding finance. It's not something I want to talk about in open session, but I still want to bring it to your attention since you were the person that I assume did the audits. Okay, you don't have to answer that at all.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. The word audit is a pretty heavy word there. I wouldn't use audit, but I know what you're saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tony, I saw your hand. Did you want to speak too quickly to Michael's point or no?
No. I thought
it took it down. Okay. Miyuki.
Yes, I just wanted to respond to Michael. We pay a ARC telecom for one of our internet services, and we pay Verizon as well. And if I could, in terms of the information. Well, I'll wait till we have that closed session. Never mind. I wanted to answer your question, Michael, but the other things we'll do in closed session, but we still do have those, services. And it was explained to me again. Yeah, we can talk more about details in closed session, but yes, we still have those and we still pay those. One is for the internet and so that the internet and the tower and Otis in Texas can all communicate, make sure that we have our streaming available, and the others for regular telephone service.
Okay.
Thank you. Kamau, the question I had is what became of the budget that we passed on at the last meeting? Did that get to the national, and did they throw it back at you, and did you duck?
Yeah, it caused a little bit of an uproar, actually. So the National Finance Committee did review it. They sent a motion forward that essentially said, you know, we've looked at it, and here at PNB, you know, you guys, it's on you to kind of do with it as you wish. And apparently in that particular meeting, there's been some back and forth about what it means to present a deficit budget. As you all know, the budget did have for us in this. Now, remember, it's this current fiscal year, of which we are over 6 months gone past. Okay, so we're budgeting in behind, you know, backwards here, but they're saying that we presented a deficit budget. And because of that may require some additional scrutiny. So there's more to come. I don't know all the details. I think the chair, Susan Young, is going to put together a group or at least, get with the National Finance Committee. But yeah, it did get kind of thrown back in a way, from what you're saying there, Dennis. And, there's concerns about processes within the network about what to do when a station does have a deficit budget and how that's supposed to, play out as it moves up the approval, ladders within the organization. So.
Okay. Thank you. Irene, as I come to you, let me just make a note to Ellen that I saw Ambrose I. Lane Jr. slip into the room. And you have the floor, Irene.
I'm here, Dennis.
Yeah, Kamau, two things. One thing was during the, at a meeting, you made a motion for the development committee to provide a budget. In our last report, in our March report, we provided the wish list with some costs in it. Was that included in the budget?
So you got to remember, so the budget that we're dealing with here is a budget that should have been provided over a year ago. Mm-hmm. So none of that, unless you provided it a year ago, it wouldn't have gotten into this budget. The budget essentially was prepared by the executive director in concert with the former general manager and the administrative assistant. I did have an opportunity to listen into the particular meeting that they had just to try and understand what was happening there. And I believe, Miyuki in her role of kind of, you know, warming up and getting ready, as the interim role was also able to listen in. But this budget was essentially prepared by the executive director in concert with the prior general manager and his staff.
Was one of the issues with that the fact that there should have been some actuals since we were halfway into the year? Instead of it being a budgeted amount, they may have wanted to see actuals since it was actual at that point.
I don't know if y'all remember. So we dealt with this over a year ago and I told you, I came to this committee and I said, I would not recommend the budget we tried to cobble through last year. The process and the way we do things is backwards. And so this is part of the struggle. Is that when you're trying to budget for a period that you're actually operating in, you're correct. You would want to say, okay, give me what's actually happening and then let me predict what's going to happen, you know, for the next 8 months rather than trying to do it for 12 months or whatever. And when the communication isn't really solid and people aren't working together as a team, then you get a struggle about how to put these things together. So literally, you know, 13th hour, last minute, hey, here it is. And we came close to being in the black or coming in, breaking even. You didn't do it. And then, of course, this has caused another bit of a firestorm on the other end. And so, you know, lesson learned. All my wonderful LSB members, we will never, ever, 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 ever present a budget that has any red in it.
Understood.
All right.
Thank you. Other questions for Finance Committee? Okay.
So we know, we did that, at least my recommendation to this committee, because it came through our Finance Committee, my recommendation to this board for this past budget, we were doing that as a courtesy, okay, to actually have a budget completed. And then, you know, folks are going to turn around and indict the membership for presenting a negative budget. Anyway, we're having those conversations. We'll figure it out. But, yeah, never again will there be a negative budget. So.
Okay. Michael, one more time, and then we'll move on.
Never say never.
Yes, sir.
Unmute, please.
What's up?
Can you hear me?
There you go. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry about that.
Are we aware of what happened with the CEO of NPR that was brought in front of the, I think it's, you know, the Republicans basically, chastised the station and her for just being, biased on its reporting of certain types of news over the past 2 to 3 years. And in that process came the issue of CPB funding. Mm. Are you guys aware of what took place in that? Because we're also, under that rubrics. And what that basically what they were saying is that, hey, you guys are one-sided in your viewpoint. You don't deserve to get, to have access to taxpayer funding for CPB funding. And what the CEO went on to do was either just trivialize it as if we don't need it. So I just thought it was something that we as a radio station ought to pay attention to in how we conduct ourselves. And I guess you're the other person from our LSB that I should please enlighten.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I think, well, first of all, that the question of CPB funding is a network question, that as far as I know, the network is still, it's a goal that the network is still working toward, and we're not there yet. If and when we do get to the point of qualifying, on those terms for funding, and if the question comes up of content, I for one would recommend that we not alter our content, specifically to receive those public funds, but that would be a decision that's made at the network level. Okay, Tony, quickly, and then we've got to move on to relocation.
Okay, something that would affect us, not necessarily with CPB, but with FCC that I wanted to share, and is that what happened with WBAI, who was, because of the methods for fundraising during their fund drives that they use, Pacifica had to pay a fine of, I believe, $25,000. They labeled it having a commercial nature of fund drive pitching. And they said that that Pacifica was out of compliance. So if Miyuki, if you're listening, that's and Satara, that's something that the station definitely needs to pay attention to.
Yeah, I think that I believe that us doing what we've been doing. I'll let Miyuki speak. Go ahead.
No, I thank you very much. We've received specific instructions from NPR. We have a meeting tomorrow, and all that information will be disseminated to all the programmers. But thank you very much for that reminder, Tony, and that we have to make sure we adhere to all the rules.
Yeah,
and we perfect. Will.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Harris, you can stay on your feet. It's time for relocation.
Okay. So the relocation committee has been meeting every Wednesday of the month, except for obviously the day for our LSB. So the things that have transpired, well, first let me just say this. Thank you to those committee members. I know Art and some other folks have put forward some suggestions about properties. The committee's moving forward and kind of looking at each one of those. If I haven't personally gotten back to you, Addie's been working diligently as well in her abilities to try and sort through a lot of information that's been coming through. You heard Miyuki say that, she gets calls, the station's getting calls. So it's just a lot of information to kind of, organize. And so I thank everybody on the committee really for assisting. What's essentially transpired since the last time we met, I believe I don't think this has happened since, yeah. So between this month and last month, we did come to a finalization on the property at American University. So that property will not be available to us. The group, the management over there, sent an email stating thank you for your interest, but It's not in their interest at this time to go forward, you know, with a lease, of their space. So that, particular issue is, not available to us. I know there was a lot of, anticipation around potentially, you know, viewing that. We didn't even get a chance to view the property itself. So we'll just move forward, on that. There was also a discussion around DCTV as a potential sublease there as well. That DCTV sublease, is something at this point that we're not able to move forward on as well. Their management believes that under their, directorship or ownership of, DC government, that they're not able to sublease that property to us. So that also is a no-go. So two kind of ready-made properties that we felt that if we could kind of plug and play, gonna move right in. There'd be some training, obviously, of the staff to get things going, but, those will not be available to us. So as it stands, we're still going through, the plethora of properties. We still have some sites that we're trying to organize and look at. And, you know, as we do, we'll give our suggestions as to the ones the committee's kind of developed a little bit more detail on. Some of these are really just kind of in the early stages of viewing, and they're not really anything that, is, you know, kind of worth reporting on at this point. We still have that one, I think, if you will, in hand, I think, nice property up in Silver Spring, Maryland. So this dovetails with what, Yuki was stating about potentially having some grant monies, given to us. I think it's about $8 a square foot that they're offering for anybody who moves into the county. So 1110 Bonifant Street in, Silver Spring, Maryland. That property's been vetted. Chief Engineer Mo has vetted the property. He says it's viable and available for us to broadcast from in a clean manner. So we've got to get over to them kind of this design. And so we went over that at the last meeting, a kind of a design layout, taking what their floor plan currently is and kind of carving it up in a way that would best suit, production, from that site. So once they get that, and then we'll figure out kind of where we are in the negotiation process, on money, which is really the bottom line of it all. We want to, you know, be able to save money. I don't know if we stated this, publicly, but the goal is to really bring, close to a 70-80% reduction in costs. We're trying to come south of $10,000 a month, really somewhere in the neighborhood of 7,000, which would shave about 10 to 11 grand off of, the rental, cost right now. So, that's the current report. I don't know if any of the committee members, Addie, she's kind of been intimate. I don't know if I missed anything. Keep me honest, on what we're doing here.
No, that's all good. And, you know, shout out to Esther, who has been really stalwart in going on site visits and has a lot of knowledge about, you know, what information to collect on those. And, you know, otherwise, I mean, this is just a slow process for an amateur, especially, and that's what I am, doing my best to schedule stuff. And, but, you know, I do think that it's probably more likely we're going to find something through a broker once we have a broker signed up, but we do need to follow up. The stuff I'm working on is mostly come from listener tips or listeners of significance, you know, who are involved with the station. So thanks.
Thanks, Addie. Appreciate that. So that's a report. I'll take any questions.
Where's the chair? He's not recognizing him.
He's on mute, though.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had a siren outside. I turned off. Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Irene.
So did you say that the Eastern Avenue location has been taken off the list?
No, it was an American university. There was a potential kind of move in where they had already had a studio kind of ready made and it was sitting open and idle, where we thought, or at least somebody thought we could kind of move in there right away and not have to really do a lot of, design work. And so, they've since after kind of, I guess sitting on it for a while, decided that that was not something they wanted to do, which is lease to, well, to us, I'll just say.
Another station probably.
Yeah, but maybe.
So the Eastern Avenue location, is that on the west side of Eastern Avenue? It's like in relation to, I don't know if you're familiar, but where Adrian Bray had her hat store, is that on or around that area?
The last property on Eastern Avenue we visited is right behind, there's a Target that they just built at Eastern and,
Georgia
Avenue.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so across the street from the hat store.
Okay. It's across the street from the hat store. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ascertain where exactly that was. Thanks.
Yeah. That's where it's at. Yeah.
Ambrose.
Oh, sorry, everybody. I'm currently at a community meeting on opioids, so I'm sorry if there's any background information. Kamal, I have a site in downtown Ward 7. It's a former bank, and it's, a fairly sizable building, two floors, has parking, and is two blocks away from a metro. So I will forward you the address of that building to investigate.
Awesome. Sounds great. Thank you, sir.
Perfect. Thank you. And you, Ambrose, at this point, you might as well also copy, Adele.
I'm going to put the email in the chat. Yeah. Let's do that. Yeah. There's an email.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Thank you both. Okay. Any other questions for, relocation or comments?
I have a question.
Who's that?
Bill. Hey, Kamal,
go ahead.
The site with the grant that would offer the grant from the county, Montgomery County government. What are the stipulations? What are the strings attached to that? That incentive?
So the county's just determined that it's in their interest to attract business, new business to the county. There's no strings attached. Essentially is a cap on it. I think 80K is the cap. It's $8 a square. We haven't found, any devil yet, in the details. Of course, we haven't decided to move there, but, there's essentially a meeting that was had, with our, vice chair and the interim general manager and the county, rep.
Mm-hmm.
That basically said that, that's the policy right now for the county to attract business.
Yeah.
There might be some devils there, Bill. I don't know, but, okay. We haven't found any yet.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. At this point, I would hazard to say that that's not the kind of thing that's going to drive the decision. If a property that qualifies ends up being the first choice, then that obviously, enhances that choice. But we're not going to, we're not going to move forward something like that because, as you said, there's always some, possibly some conditions or something down in there. Yep. But,
Let me do a quick follow up, Dennis, may I?
Yeah, go ahead,
Bill. In terms of cutting the rental or the lease amount from, you said about 70%, 40%. That's the goal.
The goal for the committee was to get a property that comes in at about a $10,000 to $11,000 reduction in cost per month. Yes.
Okay. I don't know the DC area, but I said this to you before. I mentioned this in a meeting before. You're going further into the, just using that as an example, Montgomery County. I'm assuming that's it's not a low cost per square inch, per square foot. And, many, a few of the other sites that you guys had looked at. I remember along K Street, et cetera. Seems like a very, more pricey areas of DC. So in terms of trying to reduce costs, you may have to, I don't know, take a look, be a pioneer somewhere in an area that's not so, well, the term people use is sketchy. You know, you may have to go into an area that's a little bit quote unquote sketchy to get those cost reductions, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just something to think about quickly because time is passing.
Well, you know, like, I think Addie mentioned this briefly, you know, we're kind of transitioning with our broker right now. And basically there's several different levers that we can pull. Yes, there's a dollar value per square foot. There's the actual total square footage itself. You have other comps, I mean, other, incentives that, may come into play in terms of, abatements and things like that. So, I mean, all of that has to be kind of ironed out in the detail of the lease, but, the goal, you know, we're trying to set a goal for the committee. And I think, you know, all of us work a little bit better with a target of trying to get that dollar reduction. And so that's what we're looking for. We found some square footage costs, in the 30, you know, sub 35. I believe the one in, Silver Spring is sub 30. So, I mean, it's out there. So these, landlords and commercial property owners, you know, they know the deal and they know that it's a struggle for them. And, so we're trying to use that as our strength as we negotiate as well. So.
Thanks.
No, thank you. Appreciate it.
Good.
I'm going to look for sketchy though.
Yeah, put that on the agenda for the next meeting.
Right.
Depending on how
we're going to etch some sketch. Okay. If there isn't anything else, let's at least get started with the Mass Committee. Irene and Robert, I understand you are our, acting spokespeople for that this evening.
Right. Sure. Hey, everybody. Okay. Yeah. And Pat, had another, business meeting that he needed to attend tonight. So this is kind of going to be a joint report. When I finish, I'm going to pass it off to Irene. And then if anything else needs to be filled in, Minerva is also the committee member who is chairing a subcommittee that is, it will, you know, become active real soon. Actually, I guess already became active last week and, will be one of the key components of the overall process, you know, moving forward from this point on. Well, I'll speak about the specific subcommittee, that I was chairing that I guess I still am chairing, but I kind of think of it as a co-chair situation with myself, Tony, and Ambrose, and that's the Outreach Committee. Spoke about it before, I believe last month. We prepared the survey that went out to, you know, the WPFW community, seeking, you know, feedback from listeners, programmers, staff members, donors, et cetera, anybody who was willing to respond. We got a great response, I think. Over 100, including the electronic survey monkey, versions that were posted on the website, written versions that were picked up at the town hall, and also one that came in, via email from one of our, programmers. Interesting information included in the responses. At some point, I guess everyone will have a chance to look through them and, you know, draw whatever conclusions, you see fit from them. Just a couple of things I wanted to mention. There was a thumbs up generally, I think, in terms of programming with a request for more local focus and more jazz. And in terms of specific hiring of the next general manager, a call for an emphasis on qualifications in in the management arena. So those were kind of two of the big picture things I saw, but they were varied and diverse responses to the questions. So what's the point of it? The point of that exercise is to be able to draw themes from the survey responses that will hopefully allow our committee to more precisely formulate interview questions to put to the candidates as they come in, to evaluate resumes and then also to, you know, question the candidates when we get to that point of selecting, legitimate qualified candidates from the pool of resumes. So, Tony Ambrose and I have been engaged in the task of summarizing and condensing information from the survey responses, to prepare a report that will be, you know, somewhat more easy to read, concise, et cetera, for the committee, in general, and also specifically for the committee that Minerva is going to be chairing, or is chairing now, the candidate evaluation committee, in order for that committee to put together those questions based upon, the respondents. And so it'll be twofold. The first one being guidance. The point of it will be twofold. The first one being guidance as to interview questions. And the second one to have a report for that lucky individual, the new general manager, when that person is actually selected to hopefully use, as they plan, their strategy and their course of conduct for the station once they are in place. So that's the piece of the mass committee that I've been most heavily involved with. And, you know, that's what I wanted to focus on. I'll take any questions on that aspect if there are any questions, or I can hand it off to Irene now. She can talk about.
Okay, let's do this. We've got 3 minutes to community comments. So if there's anything anybody wants to say about Robert's portion, then we'll go to community comment and then Irene can take it from there. Vanessa.
So just kind of an internal question. I have been dealing with an extreme emergency, and so I'm a little lost on the process for the committee that Minerva, the subcommittee that Minerva's chairing. So I just want to find out if that committee's met. I don't recall seeing any communications, but I have not been able to check as much as I usually am. So I just wanted to check on that.
Yeah, I'll respond to that real quick. We did have our first meeting last week. There was confusion among other members too, Vanessa, but we were able to pull together a quorum and have a committee meeting consisting of, I think, 5 members total. And what we did was we began to evaluate, the criteria for judging resumes. Basically, the basic format from it was borrowed from the, report presented the last go round back in 2016 when the general manager was selected. We didn't feel any need to reinvent the wheel, but we did go over it with precision and, decided to suggest changes to some of the criteria and also came up with some items that we thought that the full mass committee would probably want to consider before, a final decision was made as to that evaluation. But I'll let, Minerva speak to that in more detail when it's her turn. But so the bottom line is we've had one meeting and that was the purpose of it. We were online for about an hour and a half, 2 hours going over it. And I think it was fruitful and to the point.
And so is the next meeting scheduled?
I'll let Minerva answer that question. I think we did schedule a meeting, but I'm not certain. So I'll let Minerva speak to that.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Okay, and that will be part of part two. At this point, I'm officially opening up the floor for community comment. Please raise your hand and let's shoot for about 2 minutes at least on the first round and see who's out there and what you have to say. Erin Grammy, take it away.
Dennis, I think Eric is muted.
Yeah, he is. I'm asking him to unmute. Eric, going once.
And Dennis, you can unmute him. Just click his microphone.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, it's not working. All right. You know what? Anyway, I'm going to come back to you, Eric, if you can hear me, because actually I forgot. I want to give the floor first to Frederick Wilson, representing the Community Advisory Board. In lieu of, at another time, we'll have a formal slot on the agenda for them. In lieu of that, this time, Mr. Wilson has said that he would like to take some time during community comment. So the 2-minute restriction is not on you, sir. Go ahead and let us know what's going on.
I will happily try to keep it to 2 minutes because I know everybody's got other things to do tonight. Okay. So my name is Fred Wilson. As many of you know, the CAB has started, the Community Advisory Board has started. And so I just wanted to share just a little bit about us really quickly. I know some of you know, some of you don't. So I just wanted to get everybody on equal footing here. Essentially, the function of us is to just sort of look at the programming goals of the station. Also look at the services provided by the station and look at some of the decision-making protocols as far as what the station is doing. And we're not here to strong arm anybody. We're here to sort of help advise, help sort of connect the community to the LSB, the community to the station. Right now we're sitting at 6 members. We lost a member, a little while ago. But we've decided that we need to push forward with these 6 members to sort of, just keep the group sort of cohesive and finish out some of this beginning sort of storming, norming, and forming sort of stuff. The members, Marsha Edwards, Sabu Hakim, Renee Martin, Martha Peterson, us at Whaley and myself. And, like I said, that first 6 months has sort of been storming, norming, and forming sort of stuff. And our next 6 months, we're hoping to start building some of the relationships in and around the station. What I would love to do is just sort of poke in and just say hi to as many people as humanly possible, because there's a lot of stuff going on with the station. We're going to start standardizing some of our requests for information. Like we did get programming goals and we've gotten some other stuff. And thank you for all who've been really receptive and giving us information. And then lastly, I think the last thing on my list was we're getting ready to start building a community focused survey, to just basically ask how we're doing and what we can do to be a little bit better. And so we'll start putting that together. I'm probably overstepping here, but I'm thinking we may be able to push that out by the fall. Also in the fall is when we'll start rebuilding this CAB. And so we'll start opening the floor to have some other people join as voting members and also join as sort of tangential members. The LSB obviously cannot be a part of the CAB, can't be voting members of the CAB. Also, people working for the station cannot be voting members of the CAB. But we will start building committees to sort of go within. I've exceeded my two minutes, but if anyone has any questions, I'm happy to answer. And I give the floor back to you, sir.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions or comments about the CAB? You know, I do think point I have that the Mass Committee has done a good job with community outreach and getting input that way. But I would hope that the Mass Committee can find a way at least to connect with the CAB and use you all also as a further resource to get input in that process. We want it to be as far ranging and gather as much information as we can. And I see a thumbs up from the committee co-chair. So maybe we can make that happen. Okay, who, I'm trying to see who was next. Sabu, is this
question?
Hold on. This is community time.
No, I was gonna, Dennis asked if there were any questions.
Vanessa, I got it. Sabu, I will come to you for a community comment. I just want to know, first of all, if anybody has any direct response or questions for Frederick about the cab of which you are a part. If you've got something else to say, I'll come back to you.
About the cab or something else?
If you have some, if it's about the cab, you can speak now. If it's about something else, I'll come back to you.
Frederick covered it pretty much, you know, where we're at and what we're doing.
So. Okay, I'll come back to you. Keep your hand up then. Okay. Who was, I guess, Tony?
Yeah.
Okay, keep these, I understand that this is, community comment should be for, board members shouldn't be speaking, but if you have a particular thing, quickly, and I will keep track of the time so that we don't take it away from the community.
I got your timekeeper, Dennis, if you need it.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, this is stop time. Tony?
Frederick, does the cab have a presence on the PFW website yet?
That should be going up shortly. The bylaws have been revamped. And so, it's just a matter of us pushing it back to reinvigorate the site.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Vanessa.
Thank you for the opportunity to ask a question of the cab. And I appreciate the presentation. I just wanted to ask him, could you please repeat the names of the members? I think I missed part of it. I know you said there's six.
So the six of us that are left are Marcia Edwards, Sabu, who is on this as well. I think Martha Peterson is also on this call. Cheryl Renee Martin and Offset Whaley.
What was the name of the last person?
Victoria Offset Whaley.
Gotcha. Okay. And tell me your name again. I'm sorry.
Fred Wilson.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
Irene.
Dennis, I just want to make a note that Mr. Tatum is causing a feedback. His open mic is causing the feedback during different periods of the time. And thank you.
Okay, thanks.
I like that kind of question.
Okay, thanks, Irene. Kamau, we're back on community time. And Sabu, you got it. Thank you, Fred.
Good evening, everybody. Some of the questions were asked by board members, so that was pretty, that answered some of my questions concerning WBAI and for us to pay more attention to what we're doing here, you know, as far as programmers, that type of thing. The fine was pretty hefty, too. That was interesting. Also want to thank everybody who attended the retirement of the GM. Last month. Appreciate that. And,
nice job again.
Thank you. Thank you.
Nice job. Thank you.
Yeah. So, and it was one other thing. But I think y'all gonna deal with that in executive, you know, I noticed that, the announcement was made about somebody being terminated. And, you know, I was wondering, you know, there's always talk about the programmer's bill of rights and stuff like that, but that never really materializes. So, I was curious about that process, you know, how does that work, you know, in the situation? And that was about it. That's about it.
Okay. Let me give you a direct, brief answer that, also part of the PD report is that the Tom Cole is leading a committee the Programmer's Bill of Rights is no longer lying between the cracks. The committee is actively reviewing the Programmer's Handbook and Bill of Rights. That will be, it's being reviewed now, will be presented for ratification in the near future.
Say again.
You said who was that?
Yes, Tom Cole. Yes, I got it.
Tom Cole? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. Mr. Ramey, since your microphone seems to be open now, I know you had your hand up earlier. Would you like to speak?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, other officers of the committee. Can you hear me pretty much okay? Yep. The Pacifica General Counsel is currently in possession of a formal complaint which charges a senior manager in WPFW's programming department with knowingly, willingly, and deliberately filing two false and baseless complaints of racial harassment against a senior programmer at WPFW. A secondary complaint charges the same WPFW programming official with deliberately exceeding their authority by interfering in last year's local station board elections by contacting then national elections supervisor Renee Penaloza in an attempt to have an incumbent LSB staff candidate and programmer disqualified. This with the intent apparently of manipulating voting patterns and thereby possibly rigging the outcome of the election. Yet a third component of the charge is that WPFW official then threatened legal action against that programmer if he discussed the nature and extent of her interference and involvement. This complaint asks for an investigation by the general counsel to determine if the manager's conduct during that election is consistent with Pacifica's guidelines and standards to obtain, maintain, or sustain employment with the Pacifica National Foundation or any of its subsidiaries. This information is being shared with the board this evening only for informational purposes. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other one else from the community care to make a comment or ask a question?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Can I go?
Yes, you may.
Okay. Thank you very much. This is Star Bowie from Washington, D.C. I wanted to, there's another point that if we get extra time, I'd like to go into later. I wanted to talk about the programming on April 30th for the jazz, the Day of Jazz. I thought that the music was wonderful. I am extremely concerned, and I have heard concern expressed by others in the community about the fact that the program director, Katia Stitt, who was broadcasting into each show from Morocco, did not raise the really egregious human rights violations that the Moroccan government has been guilty of for 51 years since the foundation of the indigenous liberation struggle, the Polisario Liberation Front has been conducting. They're indigenous nomads, and they basically, the Moroccan government has been colluding with Israel, receiving weapons from it, giving it diplomatic cover, receiving training, and the circumstances, the UN recognizes Western Sahara as the only colony left in the world, and it totally gives support to its right to self-determination, which means the right to form a separate state. So that is just an egregious violation. There are three other aspects to the racism in Morocco, which has been quite notorious in recent years. One has to do with the black Moroccans who have been there sometimes for centuries, what they have to deal with in terms of discrimination. The other has to do with African migrants who sometimes have tried to settle in Morocco. And the third aspect has to do with the African migrants who are sometimes going through Morocco en route to Europe and who have been disappeared and murdered and stolen from and so on and so forth. And it's totally inconsistent that we're having next week a day of solidarity with Palestine, and we're speaking. We need to have much better information on the part of the program director and programmers. And I think that had this gone through the program committee and the LSB, there are knowledgeable people there who would have been aware of these circumstances and would not have wanted puff, you know, basically puff coverage. Countries like Morocco and Israel have for years tried to cultivate African Americans and others to give themselves, you know, concerts, what have you, freebie trips, to cultivate an image of themselves as being liberal. They want the money. They want the diplomatic cover. We can't fall into that trap. And I think it's just a real travesty that this broadcasting occurred last week. And I hope that people will take this seriously. Some of the epithets that are used in Morocco for darker skinned, for people who are of more sub-Saharan African appearance, even though they have been there for centuries, are very, very, I mean, there's almost point for point the kind of epithets you hear in this country, including the fact that noises like monkey grunts will be made to greet them. And the Moroccan government claims there's no racial problem there, so they don't keep statistics on employment or education or shelter or access to healthcare. But the Moroccans themselves, who are called black, are trying to organize to raise consciousness about these circumstances, which the quote unquote white Moroccans pass off as being just, oh, it's just fun. No harm is met. Nobody takes it seriously. It's an egregious situation, and it's something that we see in countries around the world where there's been a history of colonial slavery, and Morocco has a history of 13 centuries of slavery, and it's a legacy of that. We need to pay attention to these things. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that comment. Miyuki, is there anything you would like to say about that?
I appreciate STAR's information, and it's an issue that we're dealing with right now. I think, and I want to be accurate, but we were always going to do International Jazz Day. There was an opportunity because the program director went there on her own vacation, on her own dime, to participate. It was a gift from her daughter, as a matter of fact, for Mother's Day. When she got there, there were people she knew, and it was an opportunity that presented itself for us to leverage. I encourage the programmers, I encourage music and public affairs programmers to please participate in the community, be out there and show ourselves so that we can be in touch with the listeners and grow our exposure. And it was a great opportunity for Katia to put WPFW on the world stage.
But it put it on world stage as a collaborator, as a collaborator with an apartheid government.
Star, you're not recognized.
It was sponsored by UNESCO. Herbie Hancock Institute was there, and he supports it. And so it was a decision that was made by the program director, and I support it. Could we have done it better? Maybe we could do it better next year and add those other elements? Absolutely. But this is something that developed organically, and it was a great opportunity to showcase WPFW on a world stage and put WPFW and present to our listeners who don't have the option of YouTube and other alternatives to hear a tremendous concert. As you said, the music was wonderful from WPFW Airways.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone who has not spoken who wishes to speak at this point? Okay, Mr. Ramey, one more bite of the apple.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On the Ground is one of the premier programs on WPFW's airwaves. Its executive producer is Esther Rivarum. She's had longtime support from Michael Byfield. They are approaching their 10th anniversary, and it's going to be marked this weekend at a formal event at Busboys and Poets in Brooklyn. Esther has served in numerous capacities through some of the most turbulent periods in WPFW's history, and she's certainly entitled to and deserving
of probably 1,000 times the support that we've offered for her thus far. I would encourage and I would ask that this board and the community in general show up at this event and at the very least show their appreciation for the programming she provides, the kind of programming the community deserves, the programming it enjoys, the programming that it's entitled to. It's this Saturday. I believe it's getting underway at 6 p.m. Bus Boys and Porch in Brooklyn. I don't have the exact address. It's on Monroe Avenue. You can look it up. But we need to show support for Esther Verum. She's a vital part of our programming and a vital part of the community. It's on the ground, 10th anniversary, this Saturday, 6 p.m., Bus Boys and Porch in Brooklyn. Looking forward to seeing everyone on the local station board there. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Are there any other community comments?
Yeah, if I can go again.
Yes. Hello? Yes. One minute, because you did go over the last time. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I didn't go over by a minute. Okay, this is Star Bowie again. I also wanted to comment that there's a display down. I don't know if it's over. I think it's still going on down at the public library, Martin Luther King Public Library, called Black Feminism. And Katia Stitt is basically the kind of online narrator for it, kind of hostess sort of role or host role. And she's identified with WPFW. A lot of the exhibit is very informative. I hadn't heard of about a third of the women, and I liked a lot of it. It was strangely skewed. They left out as a Black feminist who had been active in D.C., Faye Waddleton, who held down the fort as the national leader for Planned Parenthood for several years and put a focus on abortion. But what was very disturbing is that the centerpiece was a huge accolade to Kamala Harris, and this is a person who is deeply embedded in, you know, the government, to say the least. She could be the next president, and very soon. And, you know, she's complicit, as are all of those politicians, in genocide. And I think that it's important for WPFW to be really careful about this idea. It's bad to have your name out there when it's part of something that's very questionable politically. Okay. Hello.
Yes.
30 seconds.
That's yes. It.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. Thank this you. Is Eric Ramey. I failed to mention that the Busboy event, the ticketing is available through Eventbrite right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Are there any other comments from the community? If not, by prior agreement at this point, I'm going to let the interim general manager return to her vacation with thanks for joining us. And we will then continue our meeting with part two, by muking, with part two of the Management Assessment and Selection Committee report. Irene.
Good evening and thank you, Dennis. So my portion will be in regards to the vacancy ad and announcement. The MASC committee went through the vacancy ad and the announcement, and we fine-tuned it so that we can have it available for any venues that might be free for it to be posted on, and most of that was identified as Pacifica-related websites and those media situations that are free for nonprofits. It was sent today to Pacifica and WPFW, the ad for the vacancy, as well as the vacancy announcement, to be posted on the websites there. The MASC committee has identified other free resources as well as other, and the PMB and Minerva will talk about this a little more, a little more in detail, but we have identified all of the free sites and we are moving that vacancy announcement as well as the link to the, I'm sorry, we are moving the ad as well as the link to the vacancy announcement to any of the free resources that we might have, to post this, vacancy. Minerva, we also moved certain things over to the committee as to resume reviewing and things, but my portion of this is to let you know about the vacancy announcement and the ad. And those things have been resolved. We are moving stuff over to the, excuse me. Please close your microphone. We have, Stephanie has it for the Pacifica Foundation and Vinny has it for WPFW so that we can, the ad and the vacancy announcement can be posted. And we're going to post it throughout the Pacifica network. And that's it. I'll move it to Minerva.
Okay, Minerva.
All right. I'm here. Thank you, Irene. And thank you, Robert, for the information you shared. What is taking place right now is that, number one, the math committee will be meeting on tomorrow evening. And from the information for the resume checklist, that's going to be presented tomorrow to the actual committee members, and they'll look it over and see if there's information that needs to be changed or based on the suggestions made from the committee. And so that's one step. And as Robert stated, the committee was finally able to meet and they'll start going through this process. We tried previously, but it turns out there are so many meetings going on that it's hard to find a time to bring everyone together. And the other part to that is bringing together the committee that is doing this work. We're going with the status of having a quorum, the majority of the members, so we can't wait for everyone because we'll still be looking for dates. And that's why we moved forward with what we did. Now, once the ad goes out, the next step is that it's agreed that it'll be out there for 30 days to see what we receive. And then we'll be able to take that information and the next meeting of this committee dealing with the resumes and how we move them forward. The information will go out tonight to ask members when they're available to meet. We've got a 30-day window, but we want to try to pull questions together and talk about what takes place with these resumes once they come back. One thing that we're getting from everyone and from the document that we used as our template is that there will be redacting done. In essence, we're looking at the information on these resumes. So, you know, that's a process that will take place. And then from that, we'll talk about how that information is reviewed. And we're also looking at the part of someone mentioned sending it electronically. But the statement that we'll be discussing, no decision's been made, is should that be done or should we move as the other group did? To have paper copies and individuals review them and we go through them and then we talk about the different steps. So there are processes that will need to be put in place as well as a timeline on how we'll do these things. And while we're doing our part of looking at those resumes, we will then receive the questions that came from a survey that Robert, Tony, and I think it was Ambrose that they worked on. So that'll help us put together questions that we'll be asking of the candidates. So we're asking everyone to reach out to family, friends, anyone you know that might have an interest in putting their name forward for this position. And we are hoping before the end of the week we'll be able to see this job ad and the vacancy information available so individuals can begin submitting their resumes. I think in an earlier process, we received information from one or two people, and those people and someone called about a third. But, you know, those individuals will be referred to the site to send their information in along with everyone who will have a chance to look at the documentation that we're doing. So we're working on this, and we want this to be very, I'm going to use this term, and I know some people will be upset with me saying it, but it's true. We want it to be very professional and impartial. We don't want to have it look like we're leaning one way or the other. We're just basically, as they said, if you remember the old Dragnet show, which I did, just the facts. So that's what we're working on as we put this together. Is there any question from anyone about anything I've shared?
Can I just add, Minerva, that we are very conscious of preserving PII. That is like the top of our list on doing this. So you may think that we are so secretive, but it has to go that way, because we need to make sure that folks' personal information is secure. We have to make sure that that is the case.
Good.
I just want to quickly give the opportunity to any other committee members that think we may have missed something or something that needs to be shared with the group to just chime in if you want.
Okay, 3 minutes.
All right. I guess we covered it all, Dennis.
Okay. Great. Thanks, Robert. And sure. Irene and Minerva. If there are no other questions, then Minerva, don't sit down. It's time for PNB. And I'll let you kick that off. I'll let you actually run that segment.
Okay. And I'm going to start out with asking the members of the LSB that are on the PNB, starting with Vanessa. Is there anything you would like to share with the board?
There is. Excuse me. I'm eating over here. So let me try to swallow. Kamal's already touched on something that I wanted to share with the board. It was discussed during the open session of the last PNB meeting, and I found it extraordinarily disturbing, which was when our budget – which was delayed quite substantially, not due to the fault of any current leadership, was presented. It was a deficit budget in the amount of $42,000. And the chair of the finance committee solicited a motion from the PNB to impose the same sort of, in my view, is a punishment. In that the ED could come in and just sort of make any cuts she feels like making without the input of, it's supposed to be a conversation between the ED and the GM or the IGM, but the ED has the final word. So I have no idea what cuts the ED could come up with. But my concern was that I felt that action, which again I refer to as a punishment, to have some external person come in and make decisions about our budget when that should be within local control. And it was based on the same action that was taken for another station. It was open session, so it was publicly discussed, WBAI, who had a substantially higher deficit, substantially higher. So the concern is that there seem to be no standards in terms of what is the litmus test for triggering
this sort of punishment where the ED can just come in and make cuts at a station. Is it that the budget is there's a $1 deficit or $42,000 deficit or a much, much greater deficit? So there were no standards. Of course, I'll speak for Ron and myself. We were quite upset, quite concerned, about that action, being taken. And, there was no forewarning that this was even a possible outcome, that if there was a deficit budget, that it could result in this punishment. So the way it's being pitched from some members of the PMB is that it's an opportunity for the GM or the IGM and the ED to sit and have a conversation. But if it's such an opportunity and not a punishment, then why isn't it an opportunity, quote unquote, that's being afforded to all the stations, every station in the network, and not just whomever has a deficit budget, and that there should be standards and protocol in terms of what amount of a deficit triggers this punishment. So that was of great concern, and Kamau has, you know, addressed it in his treasurer's report, and that was my perspective on that issue.
I have one quick question. Do you know if that process has been invoked with any budgets that were not deficit budgets?
Not to my knowledge, no. No.
Okay, then what I infer is that that is the trigger, but I don't know for sure.
Okay, and may I speak?
Yeah, go ahead. You got it.
Okay. I need to share with everyone that basically the National Finance and the other groups are in the process of revising how they actually deal with the stations. And they have brought it to the PNB. Initially, there was a station that had four, and other stations that had for years presented deficit budgets. And their message was that the ED, she was given power this year. She wasn't before when she was first hired. She didn't have the power to go in and speak with the GMs and the others regarding programming or a lot into finance. But she has this year been given the ability to do this. And what they had done is they had asked each of the stations to go back. Well, there was one, the first station was asked to go back and see what they could do to address the deficit. They did not. They said that was it. So there was a chance. They were given several chances. And again, just as was stated by Vanessa, the ED went to the GM and program director, I think, was also included. And they were asked, let's sit down and see what can be done to address this. And still there was nothing taking place. So that's how the other station came into what took place, where they're talking about maybe cuts. It hasn't been made because now they understand that in order for the network to stay viable, that all the stations have to begin to stand on their own. So they're working and have done some things to better what's going on at their station. And this was the first mention of our budget was a deficit. And before it went as a deficit, and even in our finance committee, I mentioned to Kamau that maybe our deficit would have been much higher than that. But as we talked, I said, maybe there are areas that we can cut. So we did cut and bring it down, but there was still more that could be done. And right now we're at the opportunity for the ED to come in and be with the IGM and whomever else is included in that meeting to see which other ways we can cut the deficit. So right now we're not at a point where they're talking about reduction of personnel. They're looking to add our information to see where we can cut. And yes, right away, Vanessa and Ron became very upset and threw their whole statements regarding this. And you can go to the meeting website for the PNB and hear this meeting. It was there. And they kept being told that this was not about reducing people. It was about looking at ways to cut. So that's what was presented. And, you know, it's, there's a lot that will be taking place, but I mean, it has to start somewhere, but I don't see WPFW losing people in that manner. Dennis? And
I'm going to recognize Kamau.
Thank you, Dennis. Yeah, I would just say that the situation kind of exploded going back to the report that I gave and, you know, Dennis's comment about it kind of coming boomeranging back. It basically at this point is a bit disingenuous. And I've had this conversation with folks to exist in this environment under past leadership and the way we did with zero information being revealed either to this body or the national body. And then after one foray into the budget process by the interim general manager, you want to impose oversight. Where were you 2 years ago? Where were you 3 years ago? So that's the conversation I've been trying in point of view, I've been trying to articulate to our national leadership. Down here, I know we're the little people, but we've been seeing what's been going on. And it's, you're a little late to the party. So what I'm suggesting for us is that you allow us some space, give us some room, give the interim general manager the opportunity to understand what it is she's dealing with, move in to a new year with a clean budget, and let's build a process for us to make sure we're not presenting a negative or a deficit budget. This is not rocket science. It's not something that we need to, you know, sound the alarms on 42K. In fact, if you really look at it, it's a lot more than that around the entire network. I mean, some of these budgets are, you know, it's just stuff on paper. So, that's really been the crux of the matter for me, is dealing with this situation for 3 years and now, somehow it's a problem at 42K when we've had nothing presented to this organization.
And Kamau, you need to also share with them that this is a completely different finance committee. This is not the one you've been dealing with for the 3 years. There has been, like I said, a real flip at the National Finance Committee and also for the PNB. So, you know, when you talk about where have they been, the other group, we would have continued going down the track that we're going and probably would be without a network right now, because they were also the same group that talked about going against the FCC for something that was done wrong that they knew was wrong. It took this new group to say, okay, FCC, we know we're wrong, so let us take the hit. What are you going to hit us with? So now everything is trying to, and that's why I said, even as you talk to them and talk to the ED or whomever shows up, you can bring forward your message, but how about we allow these people to help us get to where we need to go?
All right. Minerva, I'm going to let you continue to manage the PNB segment of the meeting. You have until 8:55. Five at the outset, and I will be right back.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Minerva, my hand is up.
Vanessa, go ahead. I saw your hand. I see okay. Irene, and I see Ambrose. Go ahead.
Okay. So I think that Kamau's comments as the treasurer of the station are responsible, fiscally sound, and the right way to proceed. This station asked for help. We knew that we suspected there were some problems. We asked for help. The PNB, and that is last year and the year before, and some of those people are still on the PNB, abdicated its responsibilities, let us swing in the wind, not getting information from the GM, not the PD. The GM is involved in the process of the finances. And then here we come to what is being presented as a quote-unquote opportunity. And I assert that it is not. It absolutely is not an opportunity, because if it was, this would be a conversation that would be happening with the ED and all of the GMs around the station. It is a punishment because at the end of that conversation, a decision can be made by the ED and only by the ED about what cuts would be made. So I'm, you know, it's interesting that you're so confident in this process. You're the P&B co-chair, vice chair, but you know, my interest is in PFW and what happens here, what happens to us, and that we're not treated unfairly. And I'm also concerned that one of the members of the National Finance Committee, garnered the votes of the PNB to support the punishment of PFW by claiming that our treasurer was aware that there would be this consequence at the end of, as a result of a deficit budget. Ron asked six times, did the treasurer know? And every time the answer was yes, and that was a lie. So if votes have to be falsely gained based on the presentation of false information, then something is wrong with that. This is not an opportunity to help us. It is an opportunity to control us.
All right. Thank you, Vanessa. Irene? Irene, you're muted.
I was trying to come off mute.
Okay, and Vanessa, please take your, just a second. Vanessa, please take your hand down. Thank you. Go ahead, Irene.
I'm just clutching my pearls here because I don't understand why when all of this was being raised, the LSB was never told about these things. When we talk about PNB reports, we never heard these things. If it was a problem, then we should have heard about them so that we can address them at the time of. Just saying. But outside of that, I just want to say that we are trying to do things now that are corrective of the issues that we've had in the past. And we are working on them. And it is taking some effort because so many times we get into these meetings and we have so many folks that are just fighting against it. I don't know what they're fighting against. I don't even understand because I'm new to all of this, but they're fighting against it. So we just need to be able to ensure that our folks from our LSB are representative of what we need on our PNB. I'm just saying that.
All right. Thank you, Irene. Ambrose?
Yes. Thank you. This is very concerning to me. It seems as though as soon as we decided to take steps to kind of right the ship here at WPFW, that the PNB wants to all of a sudden micromanage. I'd like to know whether or not, and Kamal, you can answer this if you have this information. Are they taking the same stance against every single station that has run a deficit? That's the first thing. The second thing is, what is their demeanor? Is their demeanor only to make cuts, or is their demeanor to collaborate on developing an agenda that would lend towards greater development and fundraising? Because if it's only to, you know, micromanage and actually decide themselves on cuts, then this is an equity issue. And so I just wanted to raise that.
Okay. Thank you, Ambrose.
Minerva, can you put and me let on me, the stack, please? This is Verna.
I see you on the stack, Verna. I got you. And I have to tell you, Seth, you're not a member of the LSB board, dear, so you do not have the ability to speak at this time. Okay? And Irene, I need you to please lower your hand. Okay?
I don't want to because I want to say something after that.
Okay. Now, Ambrose, or I'm sorry, did you finish, Ambrose? Okay, Wanda, you're next.
Thank you, Minerva. So
It appears from where I sit, I haven't interacted with the PNB. I don't know who the ED is. I don't have any history with them, but, it does appear that it's a very judgmental, decision that was made against, PFW. That's the appearance. And it might be that, it may not be that, but that's how it appears to me. What I'm wondering is whether or not there's any recourse should the ED, whoever that is, make a decision or a cut that's really adverse to the station, or is this person's word or decision final?
Okay, it's right now they're doing research. They're coming to work with the station, the IGM, to see what the cuts look like. So this is not something that's set up in stone. They're just trying to gather information and see where the station might need help. And I understand for the other station, they did bring forward someone who could help with maybe programming ideas or ways to bring forward more funds to help to eliminate the deficit. And I'm sorry, Ambrose, for your statement, and I'm going to say this, I don't see the PNB looking at ways, or the national finance looking at ways to go after WPFW. They're using the same format with all stations. The ones that are deficits are the ones that they're trying to work with or see what can be done. But if there's pushback, which there was pushback from the other station, and there's still ongoing pushback, they had to go in and help make some major changes. Because, I mean, there's no way that, I'm just saying to everyone, if you really want to know what went forward in that meeting, go to the, go to pacifica.org and go under calendar, or go there, it's KPFTX. I think that's it. Go there. The recording is there and you can hear for yourself. They're not doing anything to go after WPFW. They're saying we need to sit with WPFW and see what's going on and how can we reduce this deficit. That's what they're saying. And their first statement, nowhere in their comments when this was brought up, did they say we need to look at eliminating people. But the message that kept being heard during the meeting was, why are you trying to eliminate our staff? So, you know, so go and listen. I just need people to go listen for themselves and come up with their interpretation of what this meeting was about and what was taking place.
3 minutes okay. In the segment, Minerva.
All right. Okay. I've got, Michael, please go ahead.
And Vernon.
I'm sorry. And I'm sorry.
Do you have me on?
Yeah, I do have you. I have you after Michael, Vernon. I'm sorry. All right. Go ahead, Michael.
I'm going to take another perspective on this, and maybe because I have managed and owned three companies with over 400 employees that had benefits. And I think from the perspective of the ED that is in charge of the entire Pacifica network, if I was looking at WPFW, in our last meeting, I know when I asked Kamal what our deficit was, our accounts receivable, whatever that was, it was in excess of $380,000 right after a fundraiser, where we raised $262,000 plus. And that has been happening since last year and the year before and the year before. Now, they may look at that and say, this is not WPFW's network. It is Pacifica's network. So to be honest with you, when I look at our station, we can make cuts. And in fact, if I was the GM,
okay,
I would make cuts. If I was the ED, and if we can't do it, then maybe they have to do it for us. Okay. That's my
okay.
point. We looked
okay,
at
thank you.
$13,000, and it was our board that decided that it was not serious enough, and we ended up losing that. Okay, I'm not going to call
okay.
it. Okay.
Okay. And I have to do this, Michael, because Dennis has said we only have 3 minutes. I know we're going over that.
I've made
but
my point.
We got your point. We got your point. Okay. And, before we, Verna has not had a chance
yes.
to speak, nor has Violetta. So we need to go to them first. Okay. So Verna, you're next, please.
Okay. My concern is that there should be some sort of a protocol determining at what point the deficit is egregious enough to require this kind of punitive measure. And I see it as punitive, because you have an outside force coming in making cuts locally. In fact, I question, and I would ask Kamal, did Stephanie not have a role in drafting the very budget that, is now being, you know, made, punitive because it's $42,000 in deficit, in the deficit. And $42,000 is not a huge amount of money. I think WPFW under this administration has proven to be capable of balancing its own budget. The other concern is that this decision was made after the budget was presented. Why wasn't it why weren't we told about this prior to the budget being presented? I'm sure we could have presented a balanced budget knowing that we were going to be penalized for having one. This is kind of like a slippery slope. Once the ED starts managing our budget, then there's no telling. It's a slippery slope. And I think that we need to suggest that some sort of protocols be put in place. At what point do you start penalizing stations when they're in the deficit?
Okay. Thank you, Verna. And your message and others that have made it will be taken forward. Dennis, is it okay if we let Violetta go ahead and speak and then we'll shut this down? Okay, please. Go ahead, Violetta.
I just wanted to, I had a question and I wanted to make a statement. It seems, well, I think that we all are concerned with protecting WPFW, and with outside entities come in, no matter how well-meaning, we can lose some of the things that are our identity, our specialty, which has been praised up to now as WPFW is in the lead. So I just think that we should be very careful. And I was wondering, question number one was, could we still have an opportunity to try to do it ourselves without, you know, having this assistance? And the other thing is, it was stated that Ms. Offset wasn't a member, but she put in the chat box that for those who remember, Pacifica had intended to liquidate the East Coast stations to keep the West Coast stations afloat. Is there any truth to that statement?
Okay. And I'll just have to share with you. I'll take that statement back to the National Finance Committee and the PNB, since I am on the board there, to share that and also let them know, you know, what we're hearing from the WPFW LSB, and probably we would hear from others if we were in community comment as to, you know, the reasoning. And it was said that basically, if needed, there could be a special meeting held regarding this. But right now, we are, you know, this is how they have it set up. In the final statement about Stephanie, she was doing her part to try to help us as best she could to put together a budget. Since we had the issue with gathering information. So, you know, I can't speak to why. And I'll also say this, Kamal has been in the same National Finance Committees that I have been in. And when we saw what was done to WBAI, I had it in my head that the very next thing is that it would come to WPFW as well. But no questions were raised, and we didn't start talking about how you identify the amount that you want to use as your cutoff before you go into this phase, but that'll be brought to them. But know that no one's moving to have WPFW taken off the air, any employees cut, any of those things. So you do have a strong voice there. We're not going in that direction. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Don't sit down. It's time for program committee. 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, with program committee, as I had stated at the beginning of this meeting for all that were present, is raising the concern, and I raised it at the last meeting, that we are not seeing the reports that are going to the LSB. They're going over the committee. And so with that, it's going to require in our next program committee meeting, which we have to change the date because the date is Memorial Day, to begin to see what the committee wants to do to move forward, because we're getting people that are discouraged about being on a committee but not being able to interact and find out what's going on and ask questions and asked for, and I think this was sent in an email, but we don't have any response from for it. We want to know what are the future upcoming programs and activities for the station. What's going to be done for the year to help the station continue to grow? And with the programming, you know, how is that being done to address the different factions of the community that we have? Are they listening and hearing what they want to hear? Or, you know, who's making these choices? So, you know, that's something we'll be spending a lot of time talking about at our next meeting. And then we may be coming forward to the board with a motion that we'll ask to get support on. But that is where the program committee stands right now. And I thank all of the members of the committee for making the meetings as they do, expecting to be able to talk and interact and work to make things happen for the station. Thank you, Dennis. That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Vanessa.
Thank you, Chair. So, in terms of Minerva's claim that people are leaving the program committee, I don't know if that's true or not, but if they are, I'll tell you why they are. Because there's a small crew of about 3 or 4 members of that committee, and every single solitary meeting is taken up, 80% of it, with complaints, unwarranted, in my view, about the PD. Just as Minerva again stated, that the PD is being unresponsive in providing reports. That is an exaggeration. So that, in my view, is why there would be diminishing membership on the program committee, if that's true, because nobody wants to be in a meeting every month where the subject of discussion is the same. How badly can we condemn the program director who is responsible for the highest rating in the network? 0.8 of the market share is not a small thing for a small community radio station. That's a pretty big damn deal. The rest of the stations in the network have 0.1, 0.2, 0.1, 0.2. If you added them all up together, they don't equal our 0.8. So my logic tells me that the program director we have is doing an excellent job, as evidenced by the objective rating that we have. So I honestly don't understand what all of the complaints about, the bitching and the moaning every single meeting. I'd leave too if I didn't want to stay and try to help balance out the misinformation that's being spread.
Okay, and Dennis, let me respond to this. Go ahead. I'll let you go there first.
Irene's hand was up next.
So, first of all, I want to say that we ain't bitching and moaning about anything. The facts remain the same. The PD isn't there. She isn't there. And we are trying to, we have been trying in the past year to do what y'all are doing right now in y'all's, you're doing a whole thing where you're like, now we're trying to get it together. We've been doing this for the past 2 years, and she has not shown up in the places that we need her to show up. I'm just saying, and I don't even care. I don't even care because it doesn't matter because we've been on sick leave. We've been on all those sick leave and travel in Germany or whatever. It don't matter to me. What my thing is here is to say that, our programming committee has a goal along with the development and the outreach committee. We're doing what we do. And guess what? It has been doing the dues with or without our PD. Understand that. We are what we are. And I just need to make sure that that is being said. We're doing ours. And the other thing is that I need to come back. Can I come back, Dennis? Give me a second, okay? Because I got another situation going on here.
You can have 30 seconds when you come back.
Okay, cool.
Did you say Tony?
Yes, Tony.
So the, as long as I have been on a programming committee, and I'm not on a programming committee right now, but the programming committee, the main goal is what it says in the bylaws, which is to collaborate with the program director to ensure that they're, and I'm paraphrasing, that they are policies and procedures that work in a fair manner, so on and so forth. Program director's job description says the same thing, that she is to collaborate with the local station board. Okay. That has been always the goal of the programming committees that I have been on. So when we ask questions and the person doesn't like the questions that we ask, that's not the programming committee's fault. Okay. If we aren't getting the answers that we think we should be getting, then that's not the programming committee's fault. We're just trying to carry out what the bylaws require and what the community thinks should be done. Now, that's one part. The other part is, where's the science? Programming involves science. So a lot of the questions that are asked are related to analysis of data. How is the programs doing? How are they doing? What kind of feedback are you getting from the PSA that you put out every day, asking people to give feedback? You know, these kind of things are what the programming committee have been asking, so that we can determine how to make adjustments and help make, you know, suggestions for adjustments and improve listenership. That's okay. It. If you can't handle that, that is your problem, not the programming committee. And I understand one meeting, she was asked some questions, some scientific questions and some management procedure questions, and she hung up, got off the line, left the call, didn't say anything. So that doesn't make any sense. So that's
okay. You know. All right, point taken.
Thank you.
Irene, you're 30. Back for your 30.
Okay, so my real situation here has to do with go back and listen. I need folks to go back to listen to the archive. We had a programmer with 43 years of experience with WPFW, 25 with their own show where they consistently made their goals. And they're ceremoniously removed without anything other than you said something inappropriately. I need y'all to go back and listen to that archive. And she's asking someone to say, someone to remove themselves from a chair so that she can continue to sanitize after the 2-3 years of COVID, sanitize, and they are refusing. Y'all need to know. Y'all need to understand that.
That's time. Michael.
I really want to ask all of us as board members that it's okay with you that you have a team and the quarterback is not at any of the team meetings ever, and that's okay.
Not true.
So that's the first question I would like for us to ask ourselves, because that's certain. I would love to be on the program of the committee, which I think I can certainly make a valuable contribution, but I refuse to be on a committee that is not a legitimate programmer's committee, because the program director isn't on that committee and has no respect for it. Now, a primary example of one person making a decision for an entire community radio station is what just recently happened. And I heard a person on community comment that really clearly articulated what was ignorance by our program director. And I don't blame her. She doesn't have to know everything. I think she's a brilliant musical orator. I think she has tremendous knowledge of music, and I certainly appreciate and respect that. But I don't think she has that political knowledge at all, which may be the reason why she didn't see the need to check with Morocco and its human rights egregious issue. That's typical. That's similar to in the days of apartheid, a person going to the Republic of Apartheid South Africa, like Arthur Ashe did. And I remember what we did then. We were angry. And Arthur Ashe was an African-American tennis hero, but progressive African-American that were trying to bring down the apartheid regime didn't cheer him on. We knew what they were doing. So it goes back to say, if you don't have the knowledge, you need to contact people with the knowledge rather than unilaterally make that type of decision. And we oppose people making unilateral decisions on this airwave because we talk about freedom of speech, freedom of choice, and all inclusivity. Yet we have a rogue, that's what I call a PD that doesn't show up and doesn't care, a rogue PD instituting that over the state, over the radio station, over the board, over the PD. And some people think it's fine.
Okay. Thank you. Verna, and then we're going to see if there's anything about the LSP show.
Yes. A couple of things. There's a movement on the program committee that insists that, you know, according to the bylaws, she's supposed to be collaborating with the LSB and that committee. But there's a misinterpretation of that. There are individuals on that committee that really want to be the PD. And they take every opportunity to try and minimize what she's doing.
We're not casting any direct aspersions toward any other delegates. Be careful.
Okay. I will follow that directive. I hope it's directed to others as well. So because there was a constant hostility and bashing continuously for years against Katia from that committee and from the previous administrations, which is why she had to have a doctor's order not to participate on that committee. Now that's not lightweight. There's a tendency to say, oh, she had doctor's orders. Oh, she was in Germany. No, there's a reason for that. And actually there's a legal reason for that, which I can't go into. But, you know, nobody on that committee ever wants to give her credit for what she is doing and what she has done. She was just recognized nationally by the Black Journalists, some organization that is very prominent, and she was in very esteemed company. But they didn't even announce that on the programming committee. Nobody said, oh, look, our program director is esteemed. She's recognized. She's honored. They don't care about that. They just want to be the program director. Some of them some people, and they're not necessarily on a committee now, are, you know, carrying grudges because they lost a show. And they're never going to give that up. They're never going to give it up, the fact that they lost their show. I don't want to blame her. And in terms of that situation with Millie, there are two sides to every story. I heard a very different story on Sunday about, and Millie, I like Millie. You know, I don't have anything against Millie, but I heard a very different side to that story as to what happened.
Mr. Chair?
So let's not assume that when you're hearing people on here say things, that that's the truth. And I think that there needs to be some very specific determinations as to what the program committee's role is. It's not to dictate to Katia what to do. And if there were a more friendly environment, maybe she would participate. Okay, that's all I got.
Okay, thank you all. Is there any information do you want to share, Bill, about the, or Irene, about the LSB show?
Sure. And Irene can jump in at any time she wants. Well, y'all know the show is coming up on end of the month, the last Friday. That is May 31st, 11 o'clock a.m. This go around, we're going to interview, we're going to have another, well, you know, last show we had the interim general manager as our special guest. This upcoming show, we're going to have Stephanie Wells as our special guest. About 20, 30 minutes, hopefully.
The executive director. In case everybody doesn't know.
Okay, got you. Yes, sir. Executive director of Pacifica Foundation, Stephanie Wells will be our guest. And we invite you guys to tune in as hopefully you can with past shows, but also for this show coming up.
Is there an opportunity for people to call in with questions?
Well, for the past three shows, we've held the line open for questions, comments from the listenership. So sure.
Good.
We welcome calls. Yeah.
Good. Thank you. Irene, is there anything you'd like to add? Is Irene still here?
She may have stepped away.
Okay. And I appreciate the fact that you all devoted considerable time to the to the IGM. I think that was very useful for our listener members. So I appreciate that. Minerva, time for you to stand back up and talk about evaluation committee.
Okay. And before I do that, let me just share real quick, Dennis, and I didn't do it under the PMB. The elections will be taking place this year. These are for individuals who desire to sit on the LSB. And right now, they have identified a national election supervisor, and they'll be sending out the information. And the LSB show and hopefully others, and also on the website, there should be information to encourage the members of the station to be sure that they are identified as members by the, before the end of June the 30th. So that's all I'm going to say at this time in terms of that. And I'll have more information at the next meeting because they'll be passing it out at the PNB meeting. But now
I'm going to take 30 seconds of your time to add this. First of all, as I said at the top, we are actually down one. We have 23 current members. We have one vacancy. That seat is actually expiring in December. So anyone who fills that would have basically a 6-month term and an opportunity to run again. I have reached out to the next remaining runner-up from the previous election. Have not yet heard back. I'll keep you all posted. Meanwhile, just a reminder that those of you who were elected in, 2021, would be eligible to run again if this is your first 3-year term. Okay. There'll be more information. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Minerva.
Right. And Dennis, and I think I asked this before we had the meeting. Please ask the secretary to send out information to all members of the LSB identifying, so that way individuals will know where their status is, because we had some who did not put their name forward for the last election we had because they said they didn't know. But if we can do that, we'll be ahead of the game. Thank you. Okay. Now, in terms of the evaluation committee for the PD, it was brought to my attention in the programming meeting of the committee meeting that there is some type legal action going on at this time, and so I have reached out to the ED and also to the PNB governance to find out how we move forward, because we don't want to be caught in the middle of any type seeing it as harassment or whatever is going on. So basically that is one reason that a meeting has not been established. I'm waiting for information from them on how to proceed. But the meeting that we would put together is to identify what questions would be put on the evaluation form and who that evaluation form would go to. So this is not something that hopefully they'll respond before the end of this month, and then we can schedule the meeting to get those questions together and bring them back to the board. So that's where we are right now with that one.
Okay. Thank you. And please keep me in the loop on
that. I will.
Okay. Thank you. First item under unfinished business, you received in the agenda a motion. It was actually put forward by Mr. Pinchback, who is not here. So first I want to ask if someone would like to take this on and put forward this motion.
Chair.
Yes.
I'm sorry. It's my understanding from Mr. Pinchback that he wants for that motion not to be introduced this evening. If anybody else who's been in contact with him has other information, but that's my understanding. It's based on some other actions that are, he's made that decision to withhold the motion at this time based on some other decisions that will be made. And he wants to see what happens with those decisions before, introducing the motion. That is my understanding.
When did you, have that conversation?
I concur with that. I spoke with Mr. Pinchback as well, and that's exactly the impression I got.
Okay. Thank you. We will hold that in abeyance. I'm not aware of any other unfinished business. Is anyone else, Minerva?
Okay. And Dennis, just real quick, in terms of the motion that's there, this is something else that is being looked at by the PMB based on the information from that FCC ruling. That is one of the reasons that, that we've been asked to, as he said, kind of stand down until they've made decisions and decided how this would move forward.
Okay. And just for the record, as y'all have seen the motion, it was,
at this point to simply for us to impanel a committee to explore and obvious possibilities for underwriting. Obviously, none of that action would take place without guidance and clarity from the national. But if the decision is made not even to form the committee yet, I will respect that. Okay, Tony, is this unfinished business?
No, this is the agenda. Did we go over community outreach report?
Go over what?
The community outreach report.
Oh, I'm sorry. You are correct. You are correct.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for that, Violetta. That's probably why your hand was up.
Okay. That's what I was asking.
Yeah. No, good point. Thank you.
Luckily, am I clear to go ahead? Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, good evening. Okay, good evening, everybody. We meet the first Tuesday, and we met on yesterday on May 7th, and in attendance were Martha Peterson, Marsha, Mariah, Sabu, who came, and Minerva, Frederick, and myself. We did the debrief on the retirement party that Sabu was the subcommittee chairperson. About 80 people came, the chair of the LSB and several other programmers, board members, some church members, and it went very well. It was reported that it was good food and music, and it was a good venue. We talked about the newsletter, and Art was excused because he was doing something else, and we will talk to you a little later, Art, but it was just a report from the development committee, and some of these things have already been talked about, like the major donor group and the programmers. It was the thought that this should go in the newsletter as well, and the upcoming events at the Eating Hotel and May 16 and 18, the My Body Festival. It was also suggested that photos from the retirement party be placed in the newsletter. And we are continuing the discussion on how to involve newer or younger people in the business of WPFW. And that will be ongoing, but for now, Mariah and Fred are going to connect with the youth brainstorming group. And I think, Mayuki has, involvement with that or convened them. And, we're going to seek some high schoolers to volunteer hours to answer the phones, you know, for the drive and just find different ways. Because the main concern was getting youth involved and them not having anything to do. So that's going to be an ongoing thing. And we want everybody to mark the calendars for the 5K run, which again is going to be taking place in September. And the only difference with that is instead of in the morning, which is not available, it will be from 1 to 7. So we're talking about how to pivot and do that with the new time. But we're looking forward to that challenge, and we think that we can even make it better. We wanted to bring to the LSB, and I know that money, we talked about money a lot tonight, but most of the payment for like the race director and the food and stuff like that has been by donations from the committee, and we would just like to know if we could get any support or a line item in the budget to help with that. We also discussed a Mahalia Jackson event at New Bethany to take place in October, and we'll keep you posted on that. So if there's anybody else on the committee and I missed anything, just bring it up at this time.
Yeah. Thanks, Violetta. And again, I'm sorry for the oversight. Mariah. Okay.
Yeah, thanks for the report, Violetta. I was just going to add on that and say I think our ask for LSV are for, we're tabling at the My Body, My Festival event that's happening, and that's May 16th through May 18th. If we could have anybody volunteer and just help out and help table. I'm not sure of all the details of the festival. I will add the URL to the chat so folks can check it out. But I do believe that there are going to be a lot of young folks at the event. So I think it's a really great opportunity for WPFW to be there and have a presence. I think that was it. I think that was all. Oh, and I think also for the pledge drive, we're hoping to have some phone volunteers come in as well. I don't remember the dates of that. If you could share that, Violetta.
The pledge drive is the 12th to the 25th.
Correct. Thanks.
Yes.
Yep.
That's it.
Okay, Minerva.
Yes, just real quickly, and one other thing that was brought up is for the outreach committee, there's normally a certain group that always shows up, and we're asking the LSB, since these activities that are going out, we're talking about the 5K, this Mahalia Jackson project, and it has LSB on it. And we're asking the board members who haven't volunteered to take part in other activities to reach out and come out and help volunteer here to get the word out, if it's something that the programmers are doing, or if it's any of these events, because again, we have those that, and the bylaws don't say that the LSB board has, it says it needs to help the station, but, it's, and this was brought up, it's more than just coming to the meetings, it's being able to come out, and if you know far enough in advance to take part and doing some things, just like at the weekend fund drive they did, Art asked people from the board if they could to join him and come man the phones for a while. So if we as a board can come together and do some of those things, I think that would be real helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. I concur. Okay, Michael?
I want to go back to the last 6-7 weeks, including tonight. Community comment, we had 2 people that commented, which is very, very shocking in terms of the past history of WPFW, where we had 34, 45 people making comments, and we didn't have enough time for them to speak. I know I reached out to you, and you reached out to me to come up with a plan in terms of a suitable meeting place, and I will talk to you about that afterward. I think I found something that we can work with, but maybe the committee, the outreach committee, which I happen to be a part of, can work on some ideas that we have to really utilize that type of meeting where we can actually rebuild that type of spirit.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We can put it on the agenda for next month.
Good point. Thank you. Anything else for the Community Outreach Committee? Okay. Does anyone have any unfinished business to bring forward?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
In light of what happened to WBAI, and someone, Tony, had mentioned it, which is an omen for us to pay attention to in terms of being fined by the FCC for, violations. I'm an ardent listener of the station, and I listen to many different programs, many different times. And I will have to say,
is that dog with you, Michael?
Oh,
no, I just want to know if that's okay. I just want to know if somebody else needed to.
It is me. Yes.
Okay.
I would like for us to, I guess working with the IGM and, to take a serious look at how we can curb that. That has been happening for many, many years, and it's a leadership problem, which I place squarely at the feet of our past GM and our PD. Both are responsible.
No, I'm sorry. So what is, I lost the track when you got up. What is it that we're looking at?
What has happened is programmers are really doing what they want to do. And I don't want to name names because one of the programmers that recently did something that was just a serious violation is a person I love the show. So I know that the IGM is going to address it. Because of what recently happened, but I still have to bring that up to us as a board to really look at that. And in conclusion, in terms of new business, what I want to suggest is that we as a body should try to schedule another meeting. Maybe we used to have a retreat and where some of the very critical issues that we need to discuss can be discussed without, the general public weighing in on it. So some of these issues are very sensitive issues that we don't necessarily want to bring out in the open. That's my point.
Okay. Is there anyone else who had, it seems like we're sort of stepping across the line into new business, which is fine if there's no other unfinished business. Anyone have anything new to raise? You're tired of looking at me, huh? Okay.
Can I make a motion?
Yeah, I suppose so. Yes.
I'd like to make a motion that we adjourn.
Yeah, but nobody's going to second it, so what's the point?
Come on, yeah. People.
I'll second it.
Y'all want to spend the rest of the evening with me. Oh, was there a second? Oh, crap. Okay, are there any objections? Come on, let's hear the objections. All right, good night. I adjourn the meeting. Thank you all for your time and for your work.
Love you all. Thank you.
PFW.
Yes, good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good
night.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Good night, all.
Good night.